turn to our scripture lesson for today, which is also the foundational scripture for this Sunday morning's message. You will find it recorded in the New Testament book of Romans, there in Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, and beginning with verse 17, we find these words written. This is the word of the Lord. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Before him whom he believed, even God, who quicketh the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Lay hold of that word today. Father God has the power to call those things which are not as though they were. Who against hope believed in hope, that he might be the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. Thus reading of the scripture for this Sunday morning. Now, I've mentioned each week that originally the intention was to begin a series of messages on the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the gift list from Galatians that lays out the fruit of the Holy Spirit. But as we've been walking through and living through events of unprecedented seriousness, I believe the Father had in mind a different agenda. And so I began 3 weeks ago what has become a series of messages on the subject of standing strong in the day of stress and turmoil. Standing strong in a time of stress and turmoil. The first three messages of this series, October the 1st, we considered the power of the eternal blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal power of the blood of Jesus. The second Sunday, we considered the word, the priority of personal prayer, and how crucial it is that each of us has a time for personal, not corporate or congregational, but personal prayer and intercession before the Lord. And then last Sunday morning, we looked at the message of the wondrous world of worship. The powerful, powerful gift of the Lord, that we are able to worship him because the scripture says that Father God is enthroned upon the praises of his people. This Sunday morning, we come to the fourth message in the series, and I know it has an unusual word in there, but that's the word the Lord gave me. The unfathomable force of godly faith. The unfathomable force of godly faith. It's unfathomable because it isn't possible humanly to truly understand the promise and the power that faith gives to a believer to stand strong in a day of stress and turmoil. But that is the revelation of the Word of God. So today I've selected out of the scriptures four different examples of unfathomable faith that provided such force as it was being exercised and released that it brought unimaginable victory. Now, the first of these is the scripture that we just read. And the person about whom that scripture is written is Abraham of Israel. He's referred to there as the father of faith, also called the father of many nations. What a statement of unfathomable faith that truly is. For Abraham and Sarah had no children. She was barren. And it's impossible, perhaps, in a day and time in which we live, that does not hold as sacred every single human life that is created, to understand the reproach that a Jewish woman and a Jewish man faced publicly when they had no children. Because Jewish people often counted their treasure in terms of the offspring and the children they bore. That is why in Psalm 127, the word of the Lord says, "Blessed is the man who has a quiver full of them." Now, I've never known how many arrows there are in a quiver, but I know it's more than two or three. Blessed is the one who has a quiver full of arrows, that is, full of children, because that same scripture says that children are like arrows in the hand of the parents. So what I did to help us here is I believe the Lord gave me four simple little phrases to help us recollect these examples that he's given us in Scripture. And so for Abraham, what I wrote is father of faith. That's an amazing designation, because in Abraham's early years, he didn't demonstrate great, great, great faith. When he was threatened with the possibility of loss of life and the taking of his wife as a hostage, he claimed that she was his sister, and thus to spare his own life. And even though the promise of the Lord was given to him and repeated in covenant promise, many, many years went by, and there was no fulfillment of that promise. So Sarah suggested to Abram that he take Hagar and conceive a child by her. We today are living in the aftermath of that sin, because it's the Ishmaelites that became the Arabs that have become the primary enemy of the people of Israel. When we refuse to wait upon the Lord, we have no idea what the consequences of our interfering with his plans, his purposes, and notice his timing. Father God knew when Isaac would be born. He knew that. Abraham didn't. He was challenged to wait, and he did not. But as time went on, Abraham's faith grew, and it was tested even to the point of sacrificing his only son, his primary son, to the Lord. And fortunately, after the test which he passed, Father God intervened. And so what happens when we hear a promise or believe a promise, but we don't wait for the Lord? There are consequences that take place, some of which are irremovable. Now, it says about Abraham, one of the key words here, father of faith, is that he hoped against hope. I hear so many refer today to the hopelessness of this generation. But unfathomable faith hopes against hope. Hope, what this means is you hope and trust when there's no reason to hope, when it doesn't make sense logically. But because of the promises of Almighty God, we hope anyway. Now, the second illustration, and this is also from the Old Testament, and I'm not going to read this scripture to you because it's very, very familiar, is the account of Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat the king received word that he was going to be surrounded by three enemy armies and that it would be impossible for him to survive this assault. We're hearing a lot about surrounding Israel, even in these days. But what happened in this instance is a prophet arose, and I'll never forget his words. Stand still. Do nothing, because you will be delivered by the hand of the Lord. Jehoshaphat, in unfathomable faith, trusted in that word of the Lord. And in example of that faith, when the day of the battle ensued, he followed the instructions of sending the choir out ahead of the army. So I entitled this particular example of unfathomable faith as the king and the choir. Makes absolutely no sense to send an unarmed choir, singers, out into the fray and the army somewhere behind them. That is an example of unfathomable faith. When the enemy comes in like a flood, this is the opportunity for our faith to rise up against whatever it is that we are dealing with and trust in the mighty deliverance of Almighty God. Father of faith, the king and the choir. This time I would like you to turn in your scriptures to Matthew chapter 8. This is the third example that we have. Matthew chapter 8, beginning with verse 5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. So this servant was not only physically assaulted, he was mentally and emotionally assaulted as well. So many today are experiencing not only physical assault, but mental anguish along with it. And so this centurion, by the way, that means he was a Roman, was not a Jew. He was not a child of the covenant. He was not a believer, as we would consider a believer. But somehow or another, through his network, he had heard about Jesus. He heard about Jesus. And he came to Jesus and he beseeched him concerning his servant. And verse 7 tells us, Jesus answered and said unto him, I will come and heal him. By the way, when we call upon the Lord, his answer is always, I will come. I will come. Now, he doesn't come in visible human form, but he comes to us in the Spirit. He comes to us in power. He comes to us in promise and in life-giving assurance. Unfathomable faith in a time of torment. But the centurion, verse 8, answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Now, how did he know this? Well, we don't have all the details here, but this centurion gave an amazing answer to this question. He says in verse 9, I am a man under authority and having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. Now what is this centurion saying to Jesus? He's saying that the release of faith, the power of Almighty God, is to those who are under authority. There's not a rebellious, hatred, jealous inch inside of the heart of this centurion at this moment. I've thought a lot this week about who this centurion is, and I wondered this. Do you recall at the crucifixion of Jesus, when they were dividing his garments among the soldiers, and there was the woven cloak that they didn't want to divide because it was so beautiful. Amazing story there. But when it was all over, soldiers had done their gambling and their dealing, and they, I assume, had begun to depart. A centurion looked up at the cross and he said, truly, this was the Son of God. I've never heard it said before, but I've often wondered, is that the same centurion that we're hearing about in this scripture today, who had come at that point at the cross to the recognition, but the faith, the strong faith, that this dying Nazarene was truly the Son of God? Jesus, verse 10, when he heard it, he marveled and said unto them, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great a faith, no, not in Israel. Unfathomable faith. Jesus' judgment about this situation was that he had not encountered in Israel such an example of faith. Out of a most unexpected source, a centurion. And so this little title I've given, number 3, as the soldier and the servant. So we have the father of faith, the king in the choir, and the soldier and the servant. Now, for the final one, I want to have you turn to St. Luke, verse 41. Behold, there came a man named Jairus. Now, he was a ruler of the synagogue, so of course he was a Jewish leader in authority. And he fell down at Jesus' feet. Notice the humility. And he besought him that he would come into his house. What was the issue? Well, he had only one daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. Now, here is the introduction of the unfathomable faith. And a woman having an issue of blood, 12 years, had spent all her living upon physicians, and neither could be healed of any. Now, I don't believe that it's an accident that the Gospel of Luke is the only gospel that records that she spent all she had on physicians. You see, Luke was a doctor. He was a physician. And even though he was a Greek at the outset who became a born-again Christian, he nevertheless was a physician. I believe he became kind of the personal physician to the Apostle Paul as they traveled on their missionary journeys, because if anybody needed a doctor, Paul would surely be a case in point. But this particular writing by Dr. Luke points out that the physicians All these physicians, she spent everything she had. And you hear stories about people who are suffering from illness for years. And I don't know they've spent everything they have, but they've certainly given it every shot that's possible. And suddenly, this woman comes to the realization that she has to go to the man of last resort. She's tried everything else, and it's all failed. I don't know why it is that sometimes people try every other way and maybe ultimately will give Jesus an opportunity. But oftentimes I hear accounts of this sort. We tried everything and it didn't work, but we came to Jesus and therefore. Now what's amazing about this story is that after 12 years of hemorrhaging, this woman was obviously very, very weak. I believe she was so weak that she couldn't walk through a crowd. Now, I mentioned there's a throng, a crowd there. But she touches the hem of this amazing robe of Jesus. Now, since there were no seams cutting or sewing, the hem obviously had to be at the bottom, the ground level of this robe. But the unfathomable faith of this woman, she didn't need an interview. She didn't need to have oil, hands laid on, or anything else. All she had to do from where she was touch the hem of his garment. I entitled this The Fabric of Faith. Fabric is the cloth. Faith is what the Holy Spirit had given this woman. The cloth did not heal her. Jesus looked at her and said, "Somebody has touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." That's verse 46. Verse 47, "And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was immediately healed." Now, here's Jesus' judgment upon this situation. Jesus said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." Unfathomable faith. And so I asked myself, looking at these four situations that I've reviewed with you today, what is the fabric of faith? What is faith made of? What does it look like? Where does it come from? And what we are told is, in Romans chapter 10, I'm not going to have you turn there right now, but Romans chapter 10, verses 8 to 21, the Apostle Paul tells us that faith comes by hearing. Faith doesn't come by necessarily reading the Bible, although that's a great assistance and help. Faith doesn't come just by listening to others, though that's a great help. Faith comes by hearing, and by hearing the Word of God. And there Paul launches into his dissertation about the preacher and the Word of God. So it's important for us as we examine this, what is this unfathomable faith? Where does it originate? It comes from hearing the Word of God, not hearing the daily news, not hearing prognostications by others of this or that or something else. The only source for unfathomable faith is the Word of God. Hearing the Word of God and receiving it. Now, I thought back over my early years. Every once in a while, somebody will come up to me, every year or two, somebody will come up and say, "Oh, Pastor Ward, I wish I had your faith." Did anybody ever say that to you? "I wish I had your faith." Well, I tell them right off, you don't want my faith. My faith is not mine. My faith is a gift from the Holy Spirit. And it comes by the Holy Spirit through the Word of God, and that can become your faith as well. And in my early years, I must say to you very clearly, my faith was mostly a matter of doctrine and catechism, just a sort of a traditional, almost intellectual understanding of Christianity. I remember every Sunday morning in church, the pastor would say, "Let us now recite our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed." Did you ever hear a minister say that? Let us recite our faith. Faith is not intellectual, theological propositions. Faith is a living entity within an individual that is brought as a gift by the Holy Spirit. And I can't recite the Holy Spirit and recite a gift, but I can act in accordance with the faith that the Lord has given me. Godly faith comes through the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the source of the fabric of true faith. In conclusion, I want to share another scripture with you, and I do want you to look this one up. This is one of those scriptures that it might be well for you to write into your one of those blank pages in the front or the back of your Bible. This is in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I've shared this with you years ago. I don't remember sharing it recently, but it'll be familiar at least to some of you. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. As it is written, now, there's the Word of God, the Bible. As it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. That's capital S in my Bible. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. So no matter how dark days may be, no matter how frustrated we become, no matter how discouraged we are as we listen to all that is going on and are concerned for the safety and well-being of so many, many, many people, I believe it's important to conclude this message today on a very positive note of victory. And the note of victory is 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. As it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. What a promise to conclude our message today. You and I have no idea all the things that Father God has prepared for you, for his people, for his church. But as we wait upon him, as we trust in him, as we exercise unfathomable faith and trust in his promises, he will reveal to us what eyes have not seen, what ears have not heard, and what has not entered yet into the mind and the understanding of man. That is why I entitled today's message, The Unfathomable Force of Godly Faith, because that is the faith about which Jesus spoke when he spoke to the people of having faith to move mountains. People, there are mountains that need to be moved. There are mountains in the culture, mountains throughout the world. Mountains that are to be moved. They're not going to be moved by talking. by steam shovels or bombs. They're going to be moved by the unfathomable faith of those who trust in the Lord. Let us pray. Gracious Father, we humbly bow before you this day. We thank you, O Lord, for this message concerning the Father of Faith, the King in the choir, the centurion, the soldier, and the servant, and the fabric of unfathomable faith. Grant us, O Lord, this gift of faith, that we may exercise this faith in our own circumstances, but this faith may be a testimony to others in this day in which we live. Now the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And the Lord's people said, Amen. Amen.